Isaiah chapter 40, and I read from verse 27. It says, "Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord? My cause is disregarded by my God. Do you not know, and have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." The famous words that Bill was trying to call to mind are from a poem by Lawrence Binyon called For the Fallen. It says, one of the stanzas is, "They shall not grow old as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun and in the morning we will remember them." And as I was thinking about that poem, my thought turned to Isaiah 40. And so I thought I'd talk to you about it. Because Binyon recognizes the potential for age to weary people. But Isaiah recognizes that everybody gets weary. Even youths grow tired and weary. And young men stumble and fall. Some of your versions will say faint. Tiredness and weariness is a reality of humanity. It's a reality of humanity. And potentially we have some difference in how quickly we might get tired, what it might take to weary us, what it would mean for us to grow tired. But all of us, at some point, will weary and will grow tired. The reality is, if I don't get enough sleep, it'll be apparent to some people. If I don't sleep sufficiently, you might know about it. Because I tire. Maybe less quickly than some of you, maybe more quickly than some of you, but I tire. And it's something that makes God distinct from us. Verse 28, "Do you not know and have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom." Psalm 121 tells me, "I serve a God who doesn't slumber or sleep. I might grow tired, but he doesn't." And in that, he never has an off day. Psalm 102 verse 25 says, "In the beginning you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment. Like clothing you will change them and they will be discarded. But you remain the same, and your years will never end." Malachi 3:6 says it like this, "I, the Lord, do not change." He's not going to get tired or weary at any point. He's never going to be less than 100%. He's always fully himself. And I say that because it's distinct from us. It's different than we are. I'm tired sometimes. I get weary sometimes. And there's no shame in that. There's no shame in that. One of the most fascinating parts of the Bible to me is the moment we see Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane before the cross. I find this a staggering account. Luke 22 and verse 39 says it like this. Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." And he withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. This is Jesus, the Savior of the world. This is Jesus, God incarnate. And his disciples, who are recording the accounts of his life, Luke, who's wanting to testify to who Jesus is, records a moment where he is crying out to his Father to not do the very thing he's told everybody he's going to do. Jesus has told the disciples, "I must go to the cross. They'll crucify me. I'll rise again in 3 days' time." He's told them. He knows that's the purpose of God in his life. But he's on his knees crying before the Father, "If there's any other way, if there's anything else, can we do that? If there's something different we can do here, I'd prefer that." But here's the staggering thing. An angel comes to him to strengthen him. An angel came to Jesus to strengthen him. Why on earth would you be embarrassed about feeling weak? Yeah. An angel came to Jesus to strengthen him. In the moment, an angel turned up to strengthen God incarnate. And yet we want to put on a pretense sometimes. Like we're always fine. And quite often we're trying to put on a pretense with God. He perceives your thoughts from afar. He knows how you feel. And there's nothing wrong with feeling weak, with growing tired or weary. Jesus is our perfect sacrifice. Sinless, and yet he needed to be strengthened. There's nothing sinful about this. It's okay to be weak. And it's the commitment of God to strengthen his people. Isaiah 14, verse 29, he gives strength to the weak and he increases the power. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Isaiah 41 and verse 10 says, "Don't fear, for I am with you. Don't be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." It's the commitment of God to strengthen his people. It's going to be difficult for him to do that at times if you pretend you're not feeling weak. Paul experiences God's strength. In 2 Timothy 4, he's reflecting. And he says, "At my first defense, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. May it not be held against them. But the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength, so that through me this message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. And I was delivered from the lion's mouth." And you know Philippians 4:13. where Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There's times where we need strength. We need strengthened. Even youths grow tired and weary. I'm 26. I'm not the oldest person in this room by some margin. But even youths grow tired and weary. This isn't a specific related to age. It's not specifically related to particular. At times in life, you need strengthened. And the commitment of God is he's going to strengthen his people. I am absolutely confident. There are people in this room who need strengthened. And God wants to strengthen you. I read Psalm 18 in our prayer meeting on Wednesday night. But for those of you who weren't there, Psalm 18 in verse 31 says, who is God but the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? The God who equipped me with strength and made me blameless. That's David's testimony. The God who equipped me with strength and made me blameless. And so I don't want any of you to feel any sense of shame about growing weary or feeling weak. Because Jesus himself needed strengthened at times. But then there's this commitment. It says, those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. Some of your versions might say, those who hope in the Lord. I'm going to try and talk to you about waiting for a moment. On this basis, though, hope and waiting are effectively the same thing. Hoping and waiting are effectively the same thing. Romans 8 and verse 24 says this. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. For who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait patiently for it. If you're hoping for what you don't already have, you have to wait. Hope is always about the future. It's always about what's going to come. It's my intention over the next little while to talk to you about hope. But it's always about waiting. You don't hope for what you've got. You've got it. You don't need to hope for it. But there are times in our lives where we live between the promise and its fulfillment. Where we live between what we believe God's going to do and it's outworking. That's where hope works. Because I am looking forward to something that is coming, but it's not here yet. And so I have to wait for it. And the challenge from us most often is that in the waiting, we get frustrated. And in our frustration, we make our own plans. We've asked God. We asked. So maybe I just need to do this. Waiting's not an absence of activity, but it's a confidence in the one who wrote all of your days in his book before one of them came to pass. That's part of the challenge for us as Christians, right? We serve a God who knows the end from the beginning, who wrote all of our days before one of them came to pass, who has seen us constantly and knows what's coming, but we don't. I have no idea what will happen in the next hour. I'll finish speaking at some point, I promise. But I actually don't have any ability to tell you what happens next. It's amazing, isn't it? We went into 2020, and lots of people and lots of churches had 2020 vision going into 2020. They had 2020 vision. They didn't see a pandemic. Their 2020 vision apparently wasn't 2020. Apparently it wasn't just so good as they thought. They didn't anticipate it. They had no idea it was coming. And none of us, when it hit, would have expected to be here today wearing masks, wondering, will we have another lockdown? Won't we have another lockdown? How many vaccines will I need to deal with this? What's going to... The reality is we actually don't know what's going to happen. And even in the prophetic, we only ever prophesy in part. It's what the Bible, we know in part and we prophesy in part. Nobody's able to give you a full picture of the future and tell you exactly what's going to happen and when. I mean, it might happen on occasion. It's not out of the realms of possibility for God. But our standard practice, our lives are unfolding and we're responding. Okay. This is it. And you have a choice to make in the response. Do you do it or does he? Do you trust his plan and purpose? Or do you run yourself ragged trying to make things happen? Do you walk the journey with him? Or do you tire yourself out thinking you might be able to change it? Waiting on God doesn't prohibit you from tiring, but it enables you to renew your strength. There's still times where you're going to grow weary, but you can renew your strength. That's what I say. Those who wait will renew their strength. You'll get stronger. I wonder how long some of us have waited to renew our strength. I wonder how long some of us have waited to renew our strength. I He is the source of my strength. He's the one that's going to strengthen me for everything he's planned and purposed in my life. He's outworking his purpose. It's God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. He who began a good work in you will see it through to completion. He's doing what he's doing. But I need strength for the journey. While he's outworking his purpose, I need strength for the journey. What's your source? We talked about Elijah a couple of weeks ago. Seems to grow weary when everything's going right. And in his weariness, God shows up and cooks for him, feeds him, cooks him for him again, feeds him again. When Elijah is expressing his frustration to God about Israel, about how wrong everything's gone, God goes, I'm going to show up. I'm going to reveal my presence to you. It's a gracious God. That's a gracious God. And he's outworking his purpose in your life. I have no questions about that. I'm not in any doubt about it. If he's intended to do something, he will do it. If he's purposed something, he's going to do it. If he's promised something, he will fulfill it. This is not, well, if you get everything or you get all the pieces in the right, he's doing it. And sometimes I need patience to wait. Just to wait. It's going to happen. Let me say it like this. Maybe like Abraham, I end up with the difficulty of dealing with a maidservant and her son when the promise actually comes, because I thought I could create the purpose of God in my life as opposed to wait for it. Sarah looks at him, goes, just take the maid and have a child with her, because I don't see how else this is going to happen. Isaac's born. And you'll read in the account that, guess what point? Ishmael's mocking him. And Sarah is raging. But it was Sarah's idea. It was Sarah's idea. It wasn't God's intention. It wasn't Abraham's suggestion. It came from Sarah. And now she's raging that this thing even exists. And it wasn't ever because I'm trying to force something. And so if you're weary, if you're tired, God wants to strengthen you. God's committed to strengthening his people. And maybe part of your tiredness is an impatience and an unwillingness to wait. Running ragged in your mind. How everything might work out and all of the potential conclusions that could come from this. How God's going to do what he said he's going to do. How it's going to play out. The invitation of God is be still and know that I am God. Whatever he's purposed, he's going to do. And so I'm going to invite you as we close. If you need strength, ask him. If you need to be strengthened this morning, ask him. And maybe you need to let go of some stuff. Maybe you just need to trust that he's fulfilling his purpose at his time in his perfect way. I believe God wants to renew some of your strength. I believe there's some people here he wants to strengthen and renew your strength. I don't believe it's his heart that you live weary. So maybe you want to take a few minutes to ask him.